Here we go. Here we go. Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. This is something like a dinner for four. You know, if you think about it, because there are, well, okay, we can't say that because our super producer isn't on, but theoretically there'd be four of us, and there's a fanciful feast of discourse, right, that we'll all get second and third helpings of, just, you know, something to consider, except don't, because it's a shallow metaphor. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
Cody, I'm so sorry that that inconsiderate Jason ruined your favorite bit, but if you're looking for a backup sidekick, I would like to put in my application early now that he's sort of failed to measure up. I'm Harry Mackin, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
And not with us in the booth today is Jason Daphnis, who actually, fun fact, he jumped ahead two grades back when he was in homeschool. And you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. He's a very smart boy. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at StoopKidsPod. And so I cry sometimes when I'm lying in bed just to get it all out what's in my head, and I am feeling a little peculiar. And so I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs. Kids is spelled with a Z. Today we're here to talk about episode 62 of Hey Arnold. And for those of you keeping track at home, that's season 4, episode 2, going by production code order. We're going to start with episode 62A, which is called Dinner for Four. Original air date, March 31st, 1999. And the Wikipedia sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Helga wants to show Arnold that she can be as sophisticated as Lila is by taking him, Gerald, and Phoebe out to dinner with a coupon she won. She devises a plan to get out of paying when she discovers they're at the wrong restaurant. And I believe this is a special Wikipedia-sanctioned special note for this episode and episode B. This is the last episode, evidently, to use traditional cel animation before switching to digital ink and paint for the rest of the series. So I guess pour one out for a real one, and that might be fascinating to talk more about as we watch more of these episodes. But first, as we always do, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible. Frank Weiss directed this one, and writing credit goes to Steve Vixton. All of that being said, let's get into takes. Harry, we'll start with you. What did you think about this episode?
Hey, thanks. First of all, that's really interesting about the cell animation. I didn't know that. That's kind of a bummer. But also, the transfer of this episode was kind of weird, at least on Hulu. So I guess maybe that quality will improve for the ages now that we're switching over to that. I really love this episode. It's also like not really a Hey Arnold episode in a way that is kind of funny. I really love the idea that they've just totally dispensed with the notion that Arnold is the main character of this show, and we are now unambiguously following this sort of madcap rom-com starring Helga and her attempts to court Arnold. I feel like everything about this episode is pretty weird. It's like I've never seen Helga sort of like expressed, well, I mean, the jealousy she expresses is surprisingly sort of like mature and surprisingly non-backward, right? Like, we never see her angry with herself or angry at Arnold for being the way he is. We only see that she is attracted to him and she wants to be with him, and so she's jealous about that. And then, like, she just straight up does the sort of like very straightforward rom-com, like, I'm going to pretend to be one way and hijinks will ensue because I'm not really that way, and then I'll have to think my way out of this. I love the use of Nadine. I love the use of her cockroaches. There's Chekhov's Nadine's cockroaches, I guess, technically, in this episode that I really like. I love that we have now sort of codified the usage of Lila as just sort of like the rival slash foil to Helga. I love that Helga is like unambiguously the main character, like I said. There's a really great cut in this episode where she's talking to Phoebe and she's like, yeah, Phoebe, you're going to invite Gerald to dinner and you're going to have him invite a friend. And then it cuts to Phoebe and she goes, yeah, you can invite anybody you want. Like, I don't know, your best friend. And then literally it like cuts back to Gerald at the phone and he just blinks. And then the next scene is him talking about what he's going to get for dinner with Arnold. That was so heartwarming to me. That was just like a really great example of like the show's so confident now. You know what I mean? It's like they really know what they're up to the point where they can kind of do weird Avenue-esque episodes like this, where it's like, hey, like, you know, these characters, you want to see these characters in funny situations. So really offbeat episode, I think, at old Shea Perry. That was a great callback too, by the way, because we've seen Shea Perry before in Arnold's, Valentine's. But, I mean, like, not my favorite episode by any means, just because like, I think that it was like, it's not really doing things that a lot of Hey Arnold episodes do, which I kind of like, but it kind of feels a little bit out of step and a little bit out of character for a lot of these characters, right? It kind of feels like a very post-Hey Arnold, Hey Arnold episode to me in a lot of ways. But I'm really interested in what you all thought about that, too, and if I'm totally off base when I'm talking about how kind of weird this episode felt to me, but not in a bad way. But what did you all think?
For sure. And I'll just reassure you quick. You're not off base. If you were off the base, you would be tagged out by now. With that, Emily, what did you think about Dinner for Four?
Yeah, I'm glad Harry mentioned Arnold's Valentine, because that's what I was thinking about right away with the lovely French restaurant there. And we're back in the same setting of that holiday special. But yeah, I think this is a fun episode. It was one I remembered once you get to the part of the cockroaches being unleashed in the restaurant and you see them flying into everyone's dress or on their plates or just all over the restaurant. And like, now I remember this. Like that at the very end, that part hit. And yeah, I think it's a fun one. I think it feels like a Hey Arnold episode, though. I don't know how to, I guess I can't wrap my head around what your thought is with that, Harry, quite yet. But I mean, the lesson here is just like, be true to yourself and be honest. So that feels pretty on the nose of a Hey Arnold to me, at the face value, I guess. But yeah, I think it's kind of fun too, to play with like Helga making a note of this one specific personality trait of Lila's, that she's sophisticated, and that Arnold overhears that Helga is not sophisticated, or that's how he views her, but he views Lila in that way. And so she's like honing in on this one specific personality trait to impress him, which obviously, like, when you're trying to adopt a new personality trait to impress other people, like that's just not gonna work. You're not being like true to yourself or authentic, so it's just not gonna come across the right way, and you're just doing it for other people. So she like kind of learns that by the end, I think. I mean, she basically just goes along with Arnold's, idea to wash dishes and tell the truth about the whole restaurant fiasco and cockroaches and everything. But I really liked a lot of the lines, too. I thought when Helga was going at the beginning, what does he see in her? All she is the pretty smart, funny, and the nicest girl in school. Big deal. Really good rom-com energy. And the French waiter, too, is a hit for me, especially when he was coming back to Helga to say, Mademoiselle, I just had an interesting, fun conversation, and then raises his eyebrow, and, like, the animation is his face, like, up close to the screen, looking at them judgingly. But, yeah. Also, Nadine comes in clutch with the cockroaches and is so cheerful. When she's like, oh, sorry, I was late, Helga. I didn't know what classification of cockroach you wanted me to bring. when they are walking down the street in the city deciding what to do. But yeah, I think just a fun episode, and definitely Helga's show for sure in this one.
Yeah, definitely. I with y'all that I thought this episode was really fun. I think more aligned with Emily in that I think this did feel like something of a vintage sort of Hey Arnold flavor. But to your point, Harriet, like I definitely felt splashes of like this. I don't know if it's going to be a season four energy that we can expect going forward, but there is that sort of confidence, or dare I say swagger, that the Craig and friends are exuding in this. Kind of the framework of an episode being provided by a Helga Pataki soliloquy is just so like, that's like in the show's DNA, I feel like. And like that part especially was like, okay, we're this is season two or episode two of a new season. We're like doing the classic, you know, we're twisting on an old riff just a little bit. But there, I mean, there are so many like extremely fun components, the fantasy sequence that Helga has, where Arnold has a mustache, and she's, you know, being all fancy. Helga sort of, you know, donning this one-off persona, you know, just for the stretch of an episode. I feel like we haven't seen a lot of that sort of thing in the show up to this point, you know, just like scattered occasions, but that was sort of like a headline for this episode. I mean, it was, you know, the fine dining episode of SpongeBob is just like, we're really committing to this. This is at the forefront of this episode in a way that, I don't know, the show hadn't really done up to this point. And the hilariously easy, not really a resolution, but just like the police officer is like, oh, there are cockroaches. We're going to shut you down. If I were you, I wouldn't pay. Like, and honestly, might be a perfect episode if it weren't for that dirtbag Arnold being like, really, we should go back and wash dishes. And just like, come on, dude. Like, I thought we left that stuff back in season three. Like, we were going to drag this Poindexter energy into season four. But I don't know. I digress. Yeah, like, kind of what we... Maybe I'm just looking for it at the start of a new season, but it always seems like the first couple episodes, they feel like they're calling back to a certain Hey Arnold formula, and usually we're going to put a little twist on it. We're going to show all the swagger we've gathered over the course of 60 plus episodes off to this point. We're going to flex a little. Flex was the word I was looking for. We're going to flex a little. Felt a lot of little micro flexes in this episode. And I think that's a good thing because this is a really fun one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I should clarify. I think, Emily, you made a really good point. I think that the overarching message of this episode is very much in keeping with Hey Arnold, especially the sort of like very Craig Bartlett optimism of it all, right? Like, you really get the impression that the kids are going to be all right, quote unquote, right? Like, Helga's going to find who she really is, and she and Arnold really are soulmates, and they're going to end up together. I guess the reason there are a couple of reasons it felt, again, not in a bad way, but in a sort of offbeat way to me, not totally like a typical Hey Arnold episode, which is first, we really never get to see any of Arnold's personality in this episode, if that makes sense. He's like completely at this point a removed love interest. In a really refreshing way, it's almost like a subversion of like a typical male-driven show where the female character has no personality type. Except our personality traits, except for the fact that she is like desirable to the male main character. That was the impression I got from Arnold here, is that like he only functioned to be this sort of like person that Helga desired. And again, not in a bad way, not in an offensive way. It's just that generally we see a lot more interiority to Arnold than that, which is interesting. And the other thing is that Helga had so much less interior angst about her pursuit of Arnold than he usually does. That's kind of what I feel like. It's like, in a good way, it feels like character development on her part, right? Because usually there is like all of this dysfunction happening in her head where she kind of doesn't want to admit to herself that she loves Arnold, or she's frustrated about it, or she's obsessed with it in a way that is sort of like frightening or frustrating, and that gets her to act out in ways that we only get to see for a second, right? Where she kind of bullies Arnold. None of that is here. Here she is just fully trying to, without making it too obvious, like appeal to him, right? And show off to him. And even at the end of the episode, like there's that very sort of like serial rom-com moment where like he sort of playfully winks at her, which is not something we have ever seen Arnold do before, and seems like wildly self-aware to me for this character who is sort of fundamentally not self-aware. That's sort of his whole shtick, right? And so I thought it was wild that like both of these characters, they felt, that's kind of what I meant, I guess, by like post Hey Arnold in the sense that it was like, okay, like these characters really have come some way, you know, like maybe now Arnold does on some level understand that Helga has a crush on him. And maybe Helga is coming to see that her crush on Arnold isn't the end of the world or isn't something that she has to be so afraid of or hide so staunchly. Right. That's not to say that this episode does that, right? Like, she's still obviously trying to hide her affection for Arnold. Arnold is still sort of being a dope and still sort of, like, not understanding what's going on. Yeah, I think it was just a really interesting episode to see how these writers and these characters are working on, or how these writers are using these characters to think through sort of, like, progress, if you know what I mean. And I really liked that. And to your point about flexes, Cody, I really like how dynamic this episode is, right? How we go from like, it opens in media res in like the school auditorium and she's making the plan. And then we cut to Helga at home. We get to see the dream sequence. There's a lot of movement in a very short time in this episode, despite it being mostly focused on the restaurant itself. And I really liked that. What are some of the other flexes that you noticed, Cody?
I think one, and I can only, I was checking back at my notes. There were only a couple examples of it that I had, but like the forethought to like, forethought is the completely wrong word, but it feels like forethought when like you're watching this and like, oh, these are like planned and timed like gags. The Helga using the bendy straw was one for me where it's like, in what other like season or episode of this show would they dare to like that? I mean, and you're kind of getting at it too, the sort of like literal and figurative winking at the audience of like, we're just going to manifest a bendy straw in this environment that would otherwise not have a bendy straw. And Helga's hair coming undone when she gets found out and just like, oh no, the veil is being, you know, cast aside. Just like little things like that where it feels like almost slapsticky, like we're dipping our toes into slapsticky waters, which is not like a bad avenue for the show to take, even just for an episode. And it's certainly not the first time they've done it. It was just like, I don't know, this was like a very aggressive example of it again, and in a good way, I think.
On that note, too, at the very beginning when Simmons is in the auditorium and giving out these coupons or what have you to the kids, some kid wins free dry cleaning, which is like, I don't know, I thought that was a really funny joke at the very beginning. Like, obviously kids do not need to do dry cleaning. Maybe they could give it to their parents or something. But also Helga reads basically every single menu item when they're in the restaurant. So they end up ordering like the entire restaurant's like menu. And I'm so proud of them because they actually did eat everything too. Like Gerald and Phoebe, they all pulled their weight there
Well, Arnold did win that eating contest, so he had he has the practice required, right? So I'm sure he can put it away.
That's true. No takeout boxes or anything. I guess that's my one shout out. Not a takeout box to be found on that table. I mean, they would have cockroaches in them, but be that as it may. Any other lingering threads from this episode? Things we didn't get to, shout outs, stuff like that?
I also wanted to shout out the waiter that Emily mentioned. I believe it was Jacques. Is that right, Emily? Was his name Jacques?
Every tertiary French character in animation is probably named Jacques.
Well, there were two of them. The one in Helga's dream was Henri, and I believe the one in reality was Jacques. But I love how like frustratingly aware of the premise of the show Jacques was, where like he kept coming back and be like, ma'am, I'm beginning to suspect that you don't have money to pay for this, and you're just sort of manipulating me using the stalling tactic in order to come up with a plan where you'll be able to get out of paying. It's like, holy shit, Jacques. Like, oh man. Or like later on when I love that that the, you know, it's a classic joke, and again a good example of the sort of flexes that you were talking about, Cody, but like that she mentions a guy just off the top of her head that's like the richest man in Hillwood, and then all of a sudden he actually called the restaurant that night and gave like very specific information contradicting Helga's story. I always really think that's hilarious when that happens. I guess my last shout out, speaking of the SpongeBob fine dining episode, we don't see very much of this in Hey Arnold, but they did like a one of those very SpongeBob-esque, like super detailed close-ups of the live or like the dead fish on the plate that Helga ordered. I thought that was really funny, particularly because that's not like a joke that Hey Arnold goes to that often, but like they really did, like they zoomed in and all of a sudden the fish was like in this grotesque detail and it was like, oh yeah, I wouldn't want to eat that either, I guess. So really a lot of good gags in this one, a really good, fun sort of quick episode.
My main shout out was going to be to Nadine, but I guess I mentioned her already. So I will shout out Helga's dream sequence and just the way that she's envisioning herself and Arnold on their French date, where he's got the slicked back hair and the mustache. Looks so good.
He's a good looking kid, as is Gerald with his turtleneck that he was sporting in that restaurant. Boy howdy, what a man, the most fashionable kids you could see. Whether you got a coupon to listen to this podcast for free or not, we appreciate y'all tuning in. We are going to take a short break as we pivot to the second half, so do not touch that dial and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got episode 62B to skip over to next, and that episode is called Phoebe Skips. Original air date, March 31st, 1999. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Phoebe is promoted to the sixth grade, but ignores Helga when she tells Phoebe that her new so-called, air quotes, friends are just using her to do their homework. She learns the hard way when a younger girl is also moved up to sixth grade and her quote-unquote friends ditch Phoebe for the new girl. Phoebe runs crying to Helga, who welcomes Phoebe back and plots to get back at the older girls. I'm going to pause and jump in and say that is maybe one of the most misleading episode synopsis that we've had on the show up to date. Jonathan Wikipedia kind of fell asleep at the wheel on that one, but we'll try to clear that up during our conversation.
It makes it sound like everything you just described took place in the first 2 minutes to set up for the episode, which was going to be about Helga and Phoebe getting revenge, when in fact they're walking off talking about this possible revenge plot when the credits roll. It's like that was the whole episode you just described.
Right. An episode, by the way, which was directed by Christine Kolosov and written by Michelle Lamoureux. So shout outs all around. Emily, let's kick it to you first this time. What did you think about Phoebe's skipping?
Yeah, first off, I want to say congratulations, Phoebe, for being promoted to the sixth grade, or being promoted from the fourth grade to the sixth grade. I love that line that repeated when you then had the third grader being promoted from the third grade to sixth grade. Yeah, this is a really interesting episode, a good best friends fighting episode where we see their breakdown between Helga and Phoebe. We get a closer look, I think, at how Helga typically treats Phoebe and just like her insecurities with Phoebe getting this big promotion to move up two grades, to be in, you know, more of an academically challenged setting, which what did Phoebe call them? She was like, I'll face fresh academic challenges. And yeah, basically, Phoebe is super excited about this. Helga is immediately so fucking unsupportive that it hurts. It just like really hurts to hear her reaction. Or it did for me at least. I've like knee jerks every time Helga's really, really mean, especially to Phoebe, who is her best friend. So that sucks, but we get to see how they kind of resolve that. And I think the episode itself is really interesting and a cool watch and look at Phoebe in the sixth grade, what all goes down there, what it's like to really try to like fit in and belong in a new classroom setting, which I could relate to as a new student in the past. I've been a new student so many times. So this is kind of similar to that, but just she's getting bumped up two grades. So yeah, I also really liked the sixth grade classroom itself, like the setting and how they differentiated it from the fourth grade classroom. It's just like less bright, less colorful than the fourth grade classroom. And there's also like darker greens and blues and browns and some maps and like a skull in the back and a periodic table and more bookshelves and like more of a sophisticated film projector and stuff like that around the classroom. But the sixth grade teacher too is just like beat down and depressed and cannot handle teaching that the group of students, which, yeah, is too bad also. But what else to say about it? I think there's a lot going on with it because you're seeing not only Phoebe going into this new classroom environment with a new group of students and being used by them, just like being totally taken advantage of, as she calls out to Helga later. You know, they shook her down. They made her do a forged signature. They like shook out her wallet for a bunch of lunch money and stuff, basically in a manipulative way. And also had her do their homework for them, all like in super emotionally manipulative ways, which really sucks. And Phoebe realized it too, as she was talking to Helga in the bathroom, and they patched things up basically at the end there in the girls' bathroom. But Helga is still just not treating her well at the end of the episode. So it's like, I think at the very end, I really wanted it to have like a bit of a nicer, more warm-hearted conclusion, but Helga still is just not a good friend to Phoebe and is just familiar to her. And I think Phoebe is fine with kind of just going along with that. And welcome back to the show, I guess, Connie and Maria. Y'all treated my girl real bad in this one, but they're such a hidden sixth grade girls episode in the first season, and they made an appearance, I know, on Cool Party, which we saw more recently too. But yeah, a very interesting episode and a good one with like girl relationships and just being a new student and everything like that. But I want to hear what you all think.
You characterized that super well. Add this episode to the pantheon of like wholesome and simultaneously off-putting, like best friend or like one-sided energy the relationship between Helga and Phoebe. Much to consider and dig into, which is to say, I will now give the mic to Harry. Harry, what did you think about this episode?
Hey, thanks for teaming me up, and thanks for explaining that really well, Emily, because I think that you just got at sort of like the core of both what I like and don't like about this episode. It's kind of ironic, I guess, because what I like most about this episode is legitimately that I think it's doing something that Hey Arnold became more comfortable doing in later seasons, which is devoting an entire episode to a character, right? Like, this is unequivocally Phoebe's POV, or we switch back between Helga and Phoebe, but even that sort of like tandem with a side character generally didn't happen, right? It was generally like we would follow Helga and see how she would react to Phoebe. We wouldn't get as much interior characterization of Phoebe as we did, but the show feels confident enough now in having established Phoebe as her own character and given her episodes in the past that it can do that. And I really enjoy that about this episode. So it's sort of ironic that like the thing I don't like about this episode is the need to fall back to sort of Hey Arnold status quo, right? It's that like they really try to make Helga and Phoebe's relationship look equitable at the end of this episode, and it's not. And I don't really know why they feel the need to do that. I mean, like, Helga gives one big emotional speech that she doesn't know Phoebe's listening to, and Phoebe forgives her. And I'm like, you know, I'm not out here trying to cancel Helga or anything, but like, that is literally just an abuse relationship that you're depicting on screen, is that like the abuser abuses and then makes a grand gesture, and then the abused victim forgives, and they default back to the original unequal relationship that they were a part of. And especially like there's this idea in this episode that, and it's sort of a frustratingly pernicious idea in their relationship dynamic in general, as we've seen in previous Phoebe and Helga episodes, where Phoebe needed to be punished as much as Helga needed to be punished for her own mistreatment of Helga, right? It was like Phoebe's arrogance and her excitement to move on to the sixth grade without considering the feelings of her best friend Helga is in its own way as much a transgression as Helga being jealous and mean and abusive to Phoebe. And it's like, what? I just don't read the episode that way, dog. Like when Phoebe was jumping up and down on her bed, excited to go to sixth grade and face new academic challenges, I was thrilled for her, right? Because it was adorable. And she was adorable throughout this episode. And, you know, I mean, I think we've literally said it before, but hashtag Phoebe did nothing wrong. It's like she should not have had to come to Helga hat in hand. She should have been waiting for Helga to come to her. And Helga should have been like, you know what, Phoebe? There is no sidekick like you. In fact, you're not a sidekick. You're my best friend. So, you know, I'm sort of like, I'm being rhetorically exaggerating. I like this episode a lot. I really love Helga's very meta, very season four search for a sidekick that they continually openly allude to as a search for a sidekick, which leads to probably my favorite joke of the episode, which is after things don't work out with Lila, which, first of all, Helga, going to Lila as your first option, okay, pretty silly move, IMO.
Bold kid move.
It's just like, why? Maybe she's just trying to like incorporate Lila so that she can control her, which I can respect. But then she goes to Nadine, and the joke that kills that one is that literally Rhonda just comes stomping through the playground and shoves Harold out of the way, which, by the way, Harold, it's been a while, my man. Where have you been? But anyway, she shoves Harold out of the way, and she's like, back off, Helga. Nadine's my sidekick. So I just love that there is such an established hierarchy of sidekick and leader that there are multiple factions of like main character and sidekick within the school. Thought that was really funny. Love, love, love the sixth grade teacher who calls Connie up to the board, and she's like, yeah, I really would like to, but I think Phoebe had her hand up first, and he goes, no, eh, whatever, I just need a body. I thought that was a really funny reading and joke. So I don't know, Cody, I think you alluded to this a little bit with your high level thoughts here, but like, how do you feel about the equitability or lack thereof between Helga and Phoebe? Or like, how do you think this episode comments on it? Do you think that it does it advances that at all? Or what do you think?
This episode in a lot of ways is like something of an unforced error, to throw out a tennis term, but like getting into that relationship and like trying to unpack it just seems like something that doesn't need to happen. Like my ultimate kind of armchair director, because that's what I fell into for a part of this episode. I'm going to first talk about some stuff that I didn't like and then talk about some stuff that I did like. But I thought I would like the fact that the episode was focusing on the two halves of this friendship, like simultaneously and like trying to showcase both of them. But like it didn't ultimately work. I think, at least for me, and it sounds like maybe in various ways for all of us here. Trying to like tap into that, you know, make it sound like an equitable relationship, is a tough sell. It's also just from a pacing perspective, like we're coming off of Dinner for Four, which is, we didn't really talk about it, but it's paced kind of miraculously. Like in 3 minutes, Helga has her soliloquy, she has her coupon, and we're like effectively at the restaurant, which is like, boom, like that's so efficient and effective. And trying to juggle these two halves, which ultimately each of them just should have been one entire episode devoted to themselves. Like, and don't get me wrong, I like, Phoebe spending time with like essentially the Ashleys from Recess. That's ultimately what that tangent is about. That was good fun. And Helga, that sort of meta narrative of her searching for a sidekick is like great. And I would want her to do that for all of the secondary, or like primary, secondary, tertiary, etc. characters. But that's, you know, those are just my own sensibilities. But I think ultimately, and not to say that necessarily like ruin this episode, I still pretty well like this episode, and I definitely appreciate what it's going for. The kind of thing that this episode tapped into that I'm always a big sucker for is the, kind of retooling and reframing certain things from the perspective of like how a child would see them. Like Phoebe, and us as the viewer viewing the sixth grade teacher as just the most rundown dude because he teaches, what, 11-year-olds? And all of those 11-year-olds being like, at least the ones Phoebe hangs out with, like, you know, late 20-something Bronx born and bred women, you know, like what are we doing here? That's extremely funny. Those caricatures are always super welcome, especially when they lean into it. They definitely leaned into it with this episode. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think I fall in similar territory as y'all. But like ultimately, again, chalking it back up to, you know, this being a data point for the show, I think it works super well as a data point, and it also just works generally well as a fun episode of an animated program.
Ooh, Cody calls things data points when he doesn't like ooh.
What?
I'm just kidding.
I like everything.
Aw.
And you can quote me on that.
I like Hey Arnold, and I'm not afraid to admit it.
Yeah, don't quote me on that, by the way.
You know, I think something you said, It has me backtracking even a little bit more, because I called this sort of a need to return to the Hey Arnold status quo. I think that's kind of unfair to earlier Hey Arnold, right? Because like, I think a really cool thing about Helga and Phoebe's relationship is that I think that previously the show had been more comfortable with demonstrating it as dysfunctional and unequal and a little abusive, right? And it's very forgiving and sympathetic toward both characters, and including Helga, right? As like someone who, okay, it makes sense that she is in a relationship like this with Phoebe, like you can see where it comes from, but without sort of dismissing the fact that it is kind of gross, right? Or a little bit like unideal. Whereas here, they really want to like create this sort of false dichotomy where it's like both girls are equally flawed and equally in the wrong in their own way, that I don't really think the show's ever done with these two before. And that feels like a real oversimplification of what was a really dynamic and really interesting relationship, like you said, Emily. And it's interesting to see that happen, I guess. And I just, to speak to your unforced error, Cody, I think that's where the episode falls a little flat for me, is like not even necessarily that I disagree with the plot sort of like attempt, not even that I don't like what they're doing. I do like those things, but just that like I think where it ends is a little bit too simple for what is usually a show that really eschews the tidy resolution, I guess.
Yeah, I'm thinking about what you're saying with the ending, especially between them. So it's almost like the writers wrote this in a way that's super realistic to the characters, I think, like the way all of that goes down in the bathroom and she's just apologizing out loud as a soliloquy and Phoebe overhears her and then everything's fine and they're back to how they always like treat each other, where Helga is the boss of Phoebe. But I think it would have been maybe more helpful to kids if the message was written in such a way that shows how big of a deal it was that Helga was treating her like that. And, you know, I don't know. I know I am being the armchair director, but say Phoebe just storms out and has a new friend who's not the group of Connie and Maria's group, but maybe she does make a new friend. Maybe she's friends with that third grade promoted kid, and walks away, storms away from Helga, and Helga just like sits there and realizes how bad things were, or just like actually you can feel it if you're a kid watching that and just go, oh man, yeah, like Helga really f***ed up, like, and she's treating her best friend like this, like that's no way to treat her. And I think they make it, you know, clear from episode to episode, it's like we know that there's that power dynamic, but I think the way that they resolved it here in the realistic way instead of like through the lesson is what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, or just like they should have, even if they were going to resolve it in that realistic way, and I agree with you, I think you're right. Like, this is not out of character for these characters. That's kind of the problem, right? But I feel like the show doesn't want us to think that's the problem. The show doesn't end on a like, oh, well, here we go again. Like, Phoebe's fallen back in with Helga, and that means maybe she won't sort of self-actualize. The show is like, everything is good now. We worked it out, you know? Yeah, I really like your armchair directing here, Emily. Like, I can totally see in my head, and I think we've had scenes like this before in Hey Arnold, where, like, instead of everything could happen the way it did, Phoebe could have been manipulated or whatever, but instead of, like, crying and saying, going to Helga for help and being like, save me, Helga. Like, I made a mistake too. I have to apologize too. Why didn't they just make it so that, like, maybe she was about to go do that, right? Maybe she was. But then, like, Helga, like, or I don't know. I wish she could have saved more face, you know? Like, to be fair to the episode, they kind of try to do that, right? Because Helga is saying her speech and doesn't know Phoebe's listening. But I kind of wish Phoebe would have responded to that with a bit more confidence, right? And if it would have been like, yeah, I guess we can keep hanging out if you're really sorry. And then Helga would have been like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, it's fine. Like, let's keep hanging out. And the episode could have ended on that note. Like, you could have even done the sort of winking, like, secretly Phoebe's really glad to be back here too. But just like, why did they have to humble my girl like that? Like, why did she have to come to Helga and be like, yeah, actually what I did was just as bad as what you did, and therefore we can bury the hatchet? It's like, ah, that's not fair. That's not right. So yeah, I don't know. Hashtag Phoebe did nothing wrong. And I feel like this isn't the first time this happens. We've got some shooters for Phoebe on this podcast. We're sort of like the referees.
Yeah, I was going to make a note of that because that had me thinking about the episode where she's Phoebe takes the fall. Helga makes her like lose the tournament. This is kind of a similar idea with just the level of jealousy Helga's dealing with and or like wanting to have something for herself and but also not wanting something good for her friend, which I think it gets to the heart of that issue, which is a general like human issue, kids, adults, whatever, like having a hard time maybe grappling with your friends or family members or siblings or whatever, like good news, even though you want to be happy for them. So I think it handles like that writing well. Yeah, it's just that ending that I think we're agreeing we wish was a little different.
Yeah, that's a really good example, right? Because like, if I'm recalling correctly, and I could be wrong, but in Phoebe Takes the Fall, they don't pretend like Phoebe made as big a mistake as Helga did, right? Like in that episode, Helga's the one that is like, yeah, I shouldn't have made you do that. And then Phoebe forgives her and it's fine. Am I remembering that correctly, Cody, or am I off?
I think that's or just, generally correct.
I think that seems like what should have happened here as well.
Yeah,
I guess.
We either watched that a couple months ago or like a couple lifetimes ago. Yep. It's hard to tell at this point.
Helga was cheering for Phoebe by the end of that after they came around. So that does have a big difference between the endings here, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of talk has come up about, you know, how this particular episode, maybe we didn't feel it stuck the landing. So let's try and stick this one with some, you know, lingering shout outs, threads that we maybe didn't get to. What do y'all want to toss out there before we close this one out in a little more magnificent of a fashion?
I've got quite a few shout outs for this one, so I'll go fast. Shout out to Phoebe's outstanding genetic engineering report, Why Two Heads Are Better Than One. Simmons calls out at the very beginning. Also, I did find my note where it said exactly what Phoebe calls the sixth grader. She goes, I get to be surrounded by the greatest minds in PS-118. I can't wait to tell Helga. Like, oh, God. So funny and so painful then. Also, shout out to Lila for her line read about not wanting to, you know, having ever so uncomfortable taking damaging Rhonda's personal property, however she said that in her Lila way. And then shout out again to Phoebe for her fourth grade penmanship award. Go Phoebe.
Yeah, you mentioned them already, Emily, and you remembered their names, which I really appreciate. But shout out to Connie and Maria. Deeply disappointing that they didn't fully internalize the lessons of sixth grade girls and stop manipulating people to their own ends. I'm really disappointed with them. You know, it's like I thought they had that whole arc. What with Arnold and Gerald, where they were like, yeah, I guess it was mean of us to manipulate. But then they're back to their old tricks again. Connie and Maria, upsetting. A real L for character development there. But what are you going to do? It seems like being a sixth grader maybe has its own trials and tribulations that we're not even aware of. They do seem to have opinions on which of the guys they they're more attracted to on the show that they're watching. So that's a whole different world, you know? Let's see. Yeah. Big shout outs to them. I loved that joke at the end where it's like there's a third grader, not a fourth grader, who advanced all the way to the sixth grade. And I really love the fact that, like, she's only a year younger than Phoebe, right? But, like, the way they portray her is like she's basically in a diaper. She's like, "Hi, I'm here to be part of the sixth grade." I just thought that was hilarious. I really love that, like you had said, Cody, I think you said about the last episode, like seeing things from a kid's perspective, right? Where it's like, oh yeah, like sixth graders are basically like 30-year-old chain smokers and third graders are literal babies. I love when the show does that. So that was super fun.
It was nice to see some old familiar faces back on the show. As the band All Time Low famously said, "I've got your picture. I'm coming with you. Dear Maria, count me in." With that, we can add one to the tally of episodes that we've recorded on. This is my clunky transition to the end. If you've made it this far, thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod, and that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm going to have that song stuck in my head for the rest of the night. Shout outs to Cody's music references. A lot of Cody music references in this episode. Well done, Cody. Not clunky at all. It was too. You're right. I've been Harry Mackin, and you can find me on Twitter at ShiitakeHarry.
And I've been a Harry Mackin sidekick, and you can find me on Instagram at EmilySui.
Oh boy. Thank you all again, and just remember, just because it didn't work out doesn't mean it was stupid.